Thousands upon thousands of us have studied disease. Almost no one has studied health. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. Thousands upon thousands of us have studied disease. Almost no one has studied health, writes Adele Davis, the nutritionist and the person who has been a voice for good health over the decades. Marvelous woman. I'd been to her house a number of times writing features about her for the Science of Mind magazine, and it was very interesting to be there. And she writes, thousands upon thousands of us have studied disease. That seems to be a very prevalent thing. But almost no one has studied health. Now, we have bad boys and we have good boys. Now, bad boys are studied so you can figure out why they're bad boys. Good boys are not studied because they're good boys. And you don't really know why. Why are these good boys good boys? Why are they behaving? Why are they honorable? Why are they trustworthy? Why are they honest? Why do they have integrity? Why are good boys good boys? Now, once we begin to study that, we'll find out what causes to put in motion to have more good boys. We've been putting causes in motion for having more bad boys because we've studied them and we have tried to figure out why they are the way they are, and that's a very foolish thing. I say to you, feed the dog, and so you feed the dog. And I say, what are you feeding the dog? Oh, just table scraps. And I said, fine. Now, do you know what a dog needs in its diet to be healthy, to be able to handle its immune system, to be able to do all of the things that humanity thinks a dog should do? No. Well, why don't you look into it? Well, it's a lot of work. Well, then why don't you buy proper dog food for the dog that is designed to meet his healthy needs and give him a long life and a healthy life with the least amount of medical support, you know? Well, I haven't time for that. I haven't the money for that. I don't have the budget. Then you shouldn't have a dog. If you don't have the money to feed a dog a balanced diet, you shouldn't have them. Now, if you don't have the money to raise a child and give the child the care that it needs in raising it in a positive, beneficial way, you shouldn't have children. I mean, we should have a law that you can't have children unless you're willing to guarantee that you're going to spend so many hours a day with a child, or each child, or all your children. If you're going to have five children and you're going to spend 2 or 3 hours every day with them, not only playing, but sharing with them, teaching them, giving them your values and so forth, then you're allowed to have children. Now, do you think the government would ever go for that? Well, yeah, they'd like to go for it, but they don't think the populace would go for it. Now, I do. In China, there are laws. You're not allowed to have more than so many children because they just don't have the wherewithal to take care of them. And if you have more children than you're allowed to have, you're in trouble. You know, you could be put in prison. They're very serious about that. Now, birth control in India is something they're doing their best to have, but they have birth control on the upper levels, but that's not the level that they need to have it on. They need to have it on the lower income levels, because there is where those people do not have the ability to feed the children a good diet and adequately take care of them, giving them medical care and other things that are needed for the shots and what have you as they go along to build up their immune system. So they shouldn't have them. Now, what do the poor people do, so to speak, with their children? Well, nothing, just have them. In the old days, farmers had children so that they could help on the farm. And in the old days, and these are very old days, thank God, in the old days, they would have children and they'd sell them. They'd sell them out to indenture, so the family could have some money for the kids working for a particular household. The kids got nothing, but the families received a little stipend every month or whatever it was for selling the kid to work in that household or in that factory or something like that. Now, that was the days when having children was beneficial because the family could make some money off of it, you know, and the farmers could make some money off of it. And in the Old Testament stories of the families, they built up a kingdom, and most of them were their own children. And that's why they had lots of wives, because they could have lots of children and build up their kingdom and build up their landholding and have their warriors and so forth, you know. And it was quite something. But you see, those days are past now. Those days are past. We're living in a new age. Worldwide, we're living in a new age where children are looked upon sort of with respect. They're looked upon with respect in any society that feels they do not want to have more children than they can take care of. You follow me? Now, in many countries and here in the United States, there are many families who have more children than they can handle. And especially unmarried mothers who accidentally have children because they don't want to use contraceptives and they don't want to maintain their non-child status, you know. And they don't care. They just have another child and let their mother take care of it or somebody else take care of it or something. And you see, this is... We haven't studied how to keep the child population at its peak of its ability in health and welfare, you see? And the same with health. We haven't studied health to know what is taking place when people have good health. Now, scientists are saying that they do this because they look into diets and they say, you're lacking this in your diet and you're lacking that. If you have this in your diet, then your body will be able to support a good, healthy body. Now, that's partially true, and it's partially not true. And the part of it that's not true is that we need all these things. The part that is true is that we must have it. Now, you say, well, that sounds dualistic. Yes, it is. We have taught ourselves that we must have air to breathe, so we need it. We've taught ourselves we must have water to drink, so we need it. We've taught ourselves we must have food to eat, so we need it. Now, I'm not saying we should just stop eating and stop breathing, drinking, all that good stuff, but I am saying that that's not the real cause for good health. Ingeborg, what is the real cause for good health?
Thinking good thoughts.
Excellent. Ingeborg said, the real cause of good health is thinking good thoughts. The real cause of good health is having a good mental attitude about yourself, your body, your affairs, your world. And when you do that, then you have good health. Now, this has been true. The doctors will go to a person and say, you're going to die because what you're doing to your body, what's happening in your body, you're going to die. And they say, I don't want to die. But you're going to die if you keep living the way you're living. And that's what they say. Now, how do you change the way you're living? Now, the way that person was living that's causing them to die is that they are living with attitudes in their mind that their body is imperfect, that their body is limited, that their body needs things, and so then they have to give it to them, and if they don't give it to them, the body will not go along well. So here a person has cancer, and the doctor says you're going to die in a few days if you, period. The doctor figures if you haven't done it all your life to have a good body, in a couple of days you're not going to make the difference. But you see, the doctor doesn't know you. The doctor doesn't realize that you, when you realize what it is and the seriousness of it, you're going to do something about it. You're going to do something. You want to live.
Yes.
You just had another grandchild. You just had another member of your family.
Right.
You had a desire to live. And so when the doctor says you have a choice, and if you start doing the right thing about yourself. Now, I keep forgetting the doctor's name, but he was the one from Travis Air Force Base, and he would have the officers, young officers, who had cancer of the throat, for instance, he would have them visualizing the white corpuscles going in, marching right in there, and eating up all of the diseased cells, all of the cells that didn't get the message that they're not supposed to grow in abundance. And they did. The white corpuscles, or at least they think they did, went in there and ate up the bad disease cells, and they were gone. And these guys were healed. Now, how could that be? I mean, the doctor merely told them mentally they should see the white corpuscles going in and doing their job. Now, why didn't Mother Nature teach us to think that, you know? Why didn't Mother Nature say, you know, the white corpuscles are going in there and healing up your scratches and your wounds and your whatevers, you know, your diseases? Now, how can we tell the white corpuscles go and do it? I mean, the white corpuscles aren't having a mind-to-mind, one-to-one relationship with our thinking, or do they?
Yes, they do.
But why aren't we told this? Why don't we study how the mind works and how the body works and how the body is an interreaction between the thoughts of the mind and what is going on in the body? Why aren't we told this? Well, we are. New Thought is telling us this. Doctors, psychologists are telling us this. Psychiatrists maybe get around to it too. And medical doctors sometimes get through to somebody, hey, stop that thinking. Stop that thinking that is hurting you. Don't do that. Start thinking, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. And you tell your child, you're a rattlesnake, and the child will act like a rattlesnake. You tell your child, you're an angel. And the child may be a little reluctant to act like an angel, but he'll be more interested in acting like an angel than he would a rattlesnake. Now, so it is with our bodies. Our bodies are just waiting for the word from us to be whole and perfect. And if we were going around saying every day, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, that's thinking about health. Adele Davis would love these comments. But Adele Davis made many of them herself in her many books. But the thing is, let's us begin to realize that we are going to study the positive experiences that we want to have take place in our world, and we want to learn how we can put the cause in motion to bring that positive experience into expression in our life. And it's just as easy as that and just as hard as that. You see, all your life you've been saying, I grow old, I grow old, I grow old. And all your life you've been growing old. Now, in 1 minute you can say, I'm youthful and dynamic and alive. Yes! It may take more than 1 minute to get your mind changed over to that new format, but yes! Now, if you're driving your car with regular gasoline and it's used to it, great. You put in high test gasoline in there, and it's going to do a cleanup job. It's going to clean out your tubes. It's going to clean out your gas line. It's going to clean out all these things. It may be a little bit too high burning power for your particular engine, but what it's going to do on the process is cleaning it out. So perhaps if you used a little bit of high test gasoline in your engine for, say, 2 or 3 gallons just by itself, you know, nothing, and you know, everything else drained out just that, you might have quite a change. I don't know. I believe my words. I believe I've been inspired to say this statement because it's probably true, and I believe it's true. Now, let's begin to study health. Let's begin to study right action. Let's begin to study the blessings of life. Let's begin to study wealth, you know. Let's begin to study happy relationships. Let's begin to study what marriage is. Marriage is not and cannot be possession, because if it is, it will soon be dead by strangulation. And we don't want that to happen. We want marriage to be sharing together of two beings who have similar interests. each other. They feel very good about each other. Every man and every woman on the earth could not be paired up indiscriminately to be husband and wife, because they wouldn't have that magic that says, I like you and you like me. Now, matchmakers in the Jewish philosophy put together people that were convenient. They would take a girl, she's of age, and they'd take a boy, he's proven himself in business, and put them together and marry them. And they learn to love each other, perhaps, or they learn to tolerate each other, but they do not have the spark between them. And if you don't have the spark between you, the spark between you that says, I just like being around you. I just like standing where you are and watching where you are. I just like waking up in the middle of the night and looking over and seeing you sleeping there and just loving you and loving you and loving you as you're sleeping, you know, not wanting anything from you, just enjoying the very presence and the charisma of your being. Even while you're sleeping, you're the most wonderful being on the face of the earth. You understand that?
I do.
And you see, when you have that, then you have a perfect relationship. That's a healthy relationship. Yeah. And that's studying health. And we'll talk more about all these things as time goes on. But that's just a start for us. Think about that. What is it that you would like to be healthy in? Mm-hmm. Healthy in the body, healthy in mind, healthy in wealth, healthy in relationships, healthy job, healthy anything, you know? Well, yeah, all of it. But the thing is, take it step by step in the beginning, and pretty soon you get in the motion, and then it covers it all. You have to, if you say all of it, well, then you're not paying attention to any of it. And you have to pay attention to one of the little things to get you started on this, if we're going to work in that basis. I'm whole and perfect. I mean, that covers all of it. And I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. That covers it all. But the thing is, how quickly are you experiencing something? Enjoy the little perks along the way. Enjoy the little smile from a healthy body. Enjoy the little delight from a thick wallet. Enjoy the harmony of a happy relationship, you know, because you just like being... Why do you have friends? Because there are people you enjoy being with. Why do you have marriages? Because you have people that you want to have babies with, or you want to have whatever, raise your family. Well, your wife, according to the friendship idea, should be your very best friend. Your husband should be your very best friend. Your children should be your very best friend, from the point of view that there's a certain something that brought you together. There's a certain something that brings friends together, sometimes not good and sometimes not bad, but there's a certain something that normally brings people together as friends. I mean, you can be associates. You can do things together. Oh, I see you're out with your friend last night. Well, that's not my friend. That's just a person I like to drink with, you know. No, really. Really.
Drinking buddies.
Yeah, drinking buddy. Because you have a mutual interest in drinking. And you wouldn't call him a friend. You wouldn't want to take him home and introduce him to your family, you know. Because that's a different ball of wax. You understand? Yeah. We talked about that before, too, didn't we? Well, let's just recognize that we're going to study health. A healthy body, healthy mind, healthy world, healthy life, healthy children, healthy everything.
Yes.
Step by step.
Yes.
And once you get the steps going, then you can take a giant leap and be right at the other end. All done. Fantastic. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.